A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown! 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 Georgia!
Now here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49+. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow.
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC championship winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin into his hands. And guess which dogs are barking first?
Now with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame, waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Your cornballs get stolen.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at From Jake, puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. All right. I don't know what you'd want to call this week specifically, Jake, where there's no college football until Saturday when bowl season starts. We're going to recap the awards that were given out late last week. Of course, the Heisman Trophy, all the position awards, some All-American teams were announced. But these are the times where you and I show what we're made of, man. It's time to talk some college football when there's not really too much going on. But it is December 11th. And how was your weekend, brother?
Man, it was great. Like, weeks like this, we got to bring it. We'll call it the bye week because I'm on bye week. So I came home this weekend, which is why you missed me on the last episode. Sorry, DB, for just leaving you out to dry.
You earned that bye week.
Was in a car for a little over 9 hours. But, made it home safely. Enjoyed the weekend here at the house in Athens and headed back to the airport today. Got to go back to work, back to the real world.
Oh, so you're still in Athens?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, sweet.
Oh, yeah. So awesome. Trying to just soak up all the little bit of time that I get to have in the great state of Georgia. Then back to the real world, back to real life.
Yes.
But before we do that, let's talk some college football.
Yeah, let's definitely talk some college football. I'll recap my weekend as well. I took my daughters and my wife up to New York City, so we did a little New York City Christmas. It was awesome.
Nice.
Dog tired still, but we had an absolute blast. The weather was great, and it was a ton of fun. Hey, this episode of Punt and Pass is presented to you by our awesome partners over at Salomon Brothers Jewelers. It's 2 weeks till Christmas Day, everybody. 2 weeks until Christmas Day. If you're trying to find the perfect gift at the last minute, just head on over to Salomon Brothers. Jaron and the team will take care of you, and you will be a big winner this holiday season. They have two awesome locations. One is in Alpharetta, just past the Avalon. The other is in Buckhead, 17th floor, Tower Place. Why Salomon Brothers? Because they have the biggest selection, the best quality, and the lowest prices with an in-store experience that's totally unmatched. If you go to Salomon Brothers Jewelers and tell them that Punt and Pass sent you or mention myself or Jake Fromm, you can get up to 10% off your jewelry purchase. The store is for anyone with any budget. And again, the lowest price is on the highest quality jewelry and diamonds guaranteed. Check them out on social media. You can get some great inspiration at Salomon Brothers on Instagram and Twitter. Check out their website as well, SolomonBrothers.com. They've got everything. They've got gifts for the women in your life. They've got awesome watch selections and other jewelry for the men in your life. Check them out, SolomonBrothers.com. Shout out to Salomon Brothers. Yeah, man, was up in New York. We took the girls up there. We did Radio City Rockettes. That was actually a lot of fun.
Saw the
big Christmas tree at 30 Rock, where my wife used to work. She worked up there for 4 years out of college. So reminisced, did Central Park, did Macy's on 34th Street. We did it all. We literally did it all. The girls hung in there. It was a ton of fun. So we were up there Thursday to Saturday. Got a couple Go Dogs up there. Dog Nation is everywhere. Nice. So it was tons of fun, man. We're back. Watched NFL football yesterday. And now back to reality on a Monday.
I hear you, man. In 2021, you know, when I was with the Giants for just a little bit, my wife and I got to do the whole Christmas time in New York. Like, that's such a cool place.
It's the best
during Christmas time, right? I mean, it's
very
just
special.
Just a neat experience. Just the whole city. You got a lot of cool stuff they do, and it's crazy. It's hectic. I mean, just traveling there stresses me out.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We missed our flight Thursday morning, made it to the airport in plenty of time. You know, security lines were a mess. Thankfully, Atlanta to New York, there's a flight like every 40 minutes. So we got on the next flight and essentially landed at the same time as our original flight. So, you know, got lucky on that one, but we did have a lot of fun. And as you could probably guess, whose fault was it that we did not make the flight? All fingers were pointed at me. I stuck up for myself, of course, but it was an adventure, to say the least. We made it in good time, though. So you got home. Tell me this. I saw you did the barbecue review with Russ Tanner. Did that the week prior for the SEC Championship. Where did you guys go? I haven't watched it yet, but I saw it on my social media feed.
We went to a barbecue spot in Nicholson, Camp Creek barbecue. Golly, man, this is actually killing me.
Was it classic Georgia style?
It was, yes.
Gosh, Brunswick stew, pulled pork, all the good stuff.
Have you ever had chicken mull?
Chicken mull? M-U-L-L?
M-U-L-L. It's the first time I've ever had it. Apparently, it's like a North Georgia thing.
Chicken mull.
Chicken mull. It's like, if you could think of like chicken clam chowder, like that's what it looks like. And I'm still trying to figure out what it tastes like. Like, it was good, but the whole time you're eating, you're just like, man, what soup is this trying to be? You know, I got like chicken and rice on one side of my brain. I got clam chowder on one side of my brain, and it's somewhere in the middle. I didn't quite understand it, but it was good. The ribs there were amazing.
Really?
Yeah, man, it was a cool experience, dude. Russ does a great job. You know, obviously Russ is hilarious.
He is too funny.
And he just has fun with it, man. So
yeah, Cabin Creek Barbecue. Cabin Creek, that's in Georgia. People are saying best barbecue in Georgia. I'm looking at the comments. Cabin Creek is the bomb. Somebody said, I had no idea Jake Fromm was that big. So that's a good compliment for you, because you're about just as big as Russ Tanner. Yeah, it looks like it's all pretty good. People are saying fork all day, fork. So I don't know what that is. Did you talk about a fork or something?
Yeah, so Russ was going in to the mac and cheese deal with a spoon. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing, man? Like,
you got mac and cheese with a spoon.
Yeah.
You got to go with a fork.
You got to go with a fork. And so anyway, you know, so hey, leave in the comments, are you a fork guy or a spoon guy for mac and cheese? And yeah, it looks like I won that one.
Yeah, it clearly worked. Last one, somebody named Bob Heron said, Cabin Creek Barbecue is the best barbecue restaurant in Northeast Georgia. The Sunday buffet is amazing. Do yourself a favor and try it out soon. If you don't follow Russ Tanner on Instagram, rtanner50 on Instagram, every Friday he puts up a barbecue review with former Georgia football players. Russ was David Green's center in the early 2000s at Georgia. Great guy. Clint Bowling and I took him to Fox Brothers in Atlanta the Friday before SEC Championship week. And we had a blast. We laughed a bunch, and I don't think I ate for like 24 hours after that. So
yeah, I was stuffed after that as well.
Tons of fun. All right, let's dive into some college football stuff. We'll keep it pretty short today. The Heisman Trophy was given out on Saturday night, and I think everybody pretty much expected the winner to be Jaden Daniels from LSU. And of course, that is who ended up winning the 2023 Heisman Trophy. He finished with 2,029 points. He had 503 first place votes. Second place in the voting results, Michael Penix Jr. from Washington. He finished with 1,700 points. He had 292 first place votes. Rounding out the top four, Bo Nix from Oregon, the quarterback, obviously finishes third. Marvin Harrison Jr. finishes fourth, the wide receiver from Ohio State. Of note, before we get into some thoughts on this trophy specifically and this season's Heisman Trophy race, Jordan Travis finishes fifth place in the Heisman voting. He got 8 first place votes. How about Jalen Milroe, who was benched earlier in the season. He finishes sixth in the Heisman place voting. He had four first place votes. And I got to give a shout out to Cody Schrader, the running back from Missouri. This dude is a straight up baller. He finished eighth in the Heisman Trophy voting. He got one first place vote. Nice. You text me this earlier. I'm surprised he even made it on the voting results list. JJ McCarthy, the quarterback from Michigan, he finished 10th in the Heisman Trophy voting. He got one first place vote for the Heisman Trophy. I don't even know if we want to justify that with commentary, but I don't know who the hell voted a first place Heisman Trophy vote for JJ McCarthy. That's not taking anything away from JJ McCarthy, number one team in the nation. He's the quarterback of it. But that offense and his performance personally does not warrant being even on the Heisman Trophy ballot.
No, it does not. I mean, I'm going to give whoever voted the benefit of the doubt and say the only reason why he got a vote was because he was a quarterback for the number one ranked team in the country. Like, hey, I get that. You can make that argument. There's an argument there.
Yeah.
But anything other than that, you're going to lose me very quickly on that. Jaden Daniels, statistically, it was his all day long. So I really think they got it right historically with, like, the way they've, you know, voted and who's won the Heisman Trophy. But there's a lot of arguments too that late in the year they were stat padding. LSU had three losses. It's kind of like weird, one of those times where the Heisman Trophy winner wasn't on a team that had something to win, right?
Yeah.
Late in the year. So that was a little interesting. But I think Michael Penix Jr. got a lot of votes.
He did.
Because I think without him on that football team, they're not remotely close to the same team. I think they're a two, maybe three loss team at best without him playing quarterback for the team.
Do you think if Oregon would have won the Pac-12 championship that the votes for Penix and Bo Nix would have flip-flopped? Mm. Do you think Bo Nix would have been second place? Penix would have been third place? Penix looked great that Friday night in the Pac-12 championship. Obviously, his team is ranked second. They're in the college football playoff. But I kind of saw those two as interchangeable late in the year. Yeah. And I totally get what you're saying as far as the stat padding goes for LSU. Three losses out of the SEC West. They didn't beat Alabama. But when you look at Jaden Daniels' statistics, 72.2% completion percentage, which is absurd. 40 touchdowns, passing touchdowns to just four interceptions, 3,800 passing yards. Oh, yeah, and then he ran the ball 135 times for 1,100 yards and another 10 touchdowns. That's good for 8.4 yards per carry. Just a remarkable season. And if they had any defense, this team could have been a serious contender. I saw in their three losses, their defense allowed like over 45 points per game in their three losses. And the offense scored like 42 points per game. Like, there's just no way they could overcome how poor their defense was in those three losses. So I get the stat padding. I get that the team wasn't in the mix, but when you break out the stats like that, it's like, dude, look, Jaden Daniels was doing everything he possibly could. The defense was just so poor in those specific matchups.
Honestly, in a very arbitrary, weird way, that's almost the formula for success to win a Heisman Trophy, is to have a very prolific offense with a very mediocre / bad defense, because you have to keep scoring in order to win football games, right? Like, if you have a great defense, I mean, yeah, you're going to go and put points up on the board, but at some point you're calling the dogs off, right?
Yes.
If you're up 40-0, you're calling the dogs up. But if the game is 40-30 or 40-38, like, you're still scoring in order to extend your lead to make sure you're winning
the
football game. So yeah, right. You just, something you have to do. So in a weird way, that's kind of the formula or recipe for success to win a Heisman Trophy, in my opinion.
Ranking among Heisman winners, Jaden Daniels, first total yards per game, first total yards per play, first passer rating, first total QBR, first total YPA, what is that, yards per attempt, first total adjusted yards per attempt, first rushing yards per carry, tied first for lowest amount of interceptions thrown, second points per game responsible for, fourth completion percentage. So just a prolific year all the way around for Jaden Daniels, a worthy Heisman Trophy winner. There is no doubt about it. Check this out, okay, in regards to J.J. McCarthy. My buddy Chris Marler from Saturday Down South at Vern Funquist on Twitter just pointed this out. J.J. McCarthy's statistics with and without Connor Stallions. Connor Stallions, of course.
This is about to be good.
Former assistant who got caught up in the sign-stealing scandal. J.J. McCarthy, total touchdowns in each game with Connor Stallions. Ready? 3-2-2-1-3-3-3. Without Connor Stallions. 4 against Michigan State. Good job. 0 against Purdue. 0 against Penn State. 0 against Maryland. Only 1 against Ohio State. And 0 against Iowa.
Wow.
So maybe Connor Stallions should have gotten a Heisman Trophy vote because those statistics, that trend is a little bit glaring that when he did not have the help of the sign-stealing guru that is Connor Stallions, J.J. McCarthy definitely took a step back as far as putting touchdowns up on the scoreboard. So something to watch because Stallions is not there. Michigan does have 4 weeks to prepare for Alabama. A lot of people are starting to move towards that Alabama flavor, that momentum that they have after beating Georgia in the SEC championship game. So that will be an awesome Rose Bowl.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I just want two last things about the Heisman deal, and then we can move on. Sorry about that.
Please.
Jaden Daniels, like, he had all the passing stats when Joe Burrow, like, lit it up in 2019. Like, he has very similar passing stats to Joey B, right? And that was an incredible season, tore it up. But then he also has all the rushing stats on top of that too, which is also insane. And then the second point I wanted to make was his touchdown to interception ratio. Unbelievable. 40 something to 4 picks. Like, that's crazy. It reminds me of Aaron Rodgers' MVP season that he had like 42 touchdowns and 4 picks. So that's NFL type stuff up there with NFL greats. Congrats to him. Got to give props where props is due.
No doubt about it. And keep in mind, he transferred from Arizona State.
Ooh.
Did you see this tweet about the former players that were on Arizona State's offense years ago?
I did. I played with one of them, Curtis Hodges, the tight end.
So Curtis Hodges, you played with him in the NFL?
Yeah, yeah, he's
always in the NFL. Okay.
Yeah.
Arizona State's 2021 offense had Jaden Daniels, Heisman Trophy winner. Johnny Wilson, first-round NFL draft pick coming up this year, who's at Florida State now. Rashad White, who just tore up the Falcons. He's the starting running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Ricky Pearsall, who's doing, you know, he had a really good season at Florida. He was about the most explosive player on Florida's offense. Jalen Conyers, Tripp Tranium, Curtis Hodges, and Ladarius Henderson, who's a big offensive lineman NFL draft prospect. So you're looking at a team in 2021 at Arizona State who was loaded with talent and they just couldn't do anything with it. Herm Edwards, that might not be the best look.
5 of the last 7 Heisman Trophy winners transfers.
Wow.
Baker Mayfield.
5 of the transfer. Last 7. Kyler Murray, transfer.
Transfer. Joey B, transfer. Transfer. Now, the only other 2 that are not transferred
went to Alabama.
Went to Alabama. Devonta Smith, Bryce Young.
Fascinating.
Yep. And then Caleb Williams and then Jaden Daniels.
Wow. 5 of the last 7 Heisman Trophy winners are transfers. And the 2 that didn't transfer were from the University of Alabama.
Yep.
Nice stat, Jake Fromm. Interesting.
Just trying to show up today, right?
Interesting. You're showing up in a big way. All right, let's recap some other awards that were given out Friday night during the ESPN College Football Awards. Brock Bowers wins the Mackey Award even after missing 4 games for the nation's best tight end. The first time in the awards history that a player has gone back to back. Brock Bowers, undoubtedly the best tight end in the nation. So huge congrats to him. How about Ladd McConkey winning the Warfel Trophy, which is given for community service excellence and on the field and academic performance. Ladd McConkey, that is a huge honor. The Warfel Trophy, named after Danny Warfel, a fantastic award that is given out annually. That's the first Georgia player that has won the Warfel Trophy. Maxwell Award, Player of the Year, was given to Michael Penix Jr. Congratulations to him. Marvin Harris Jr. wins the Biletnikoff Award for the best wide receiver. I think that was pretty expected as well. Got to give a shout out to Torrey Taylor from Iowa, the punter. He had 87 punts. That's just incredible. His stat line, he was a game changer for Iowa, obviously. He wins the Ray Guy Award as the best punter. Lou Groza Award winner for the best kickers, Graham Nicholson from Miami of Ohio. He had a great year also. And Jaden Daniels wins the Davey O'Brien Award as the best quarterback. I think I just said that. So other awards were given out. But it was a pretty, I think, low-key award season. A lot of these awards, people knew who was going to get what. And it certainly seemed to work out that way. Yeah, pretty interesting. And now everybody, what? It's finals week, Jay. Kind of talk about what this week is like when you're in the mix between bowl practice and award season's done and you got to finish up in the classroom. Tell our audience what that's like.
Yeah, this is such a mixed bag week because you have some guys who are absolutely chilling. Life is good. They got one maybe final. So they basically have a week off to just go chill and do whatever they want, get their two lifts in, head home, hang out, whatever extracurricular activity they want to do. And then for some guys, man, they're just grinding four, maybe five finals. So it just really just depends on your schedule and just trying to enjoy what you got. Cause as soon as finals week is over, it's back to the grind, back to practice and getting dialed in to play Florida State.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you're totally right. Like the older guys, the upperclassmen, maybe some have already graduated. Maybe some are getting ready to graduate and walk. It's just totally different from when you're in your freshman classes and you have four finals and you're trying to make grades. That's the stressful time. And of course, football takes a backseat this week because, yeah, you got to train. You might have some walkthroughs, but it's way less intense than it is during the week because the academic side really comes into play. And of course, the coaches want to make sure that not everything is getting thrown to the wayside. I also saw some interesting talking points about just the Orange Bowl in general. Are these teams going to be excited to play? Will the game even be played? I saw that literally be talked about. I'm like, yes, the game will, of course, be played. I don't think Carson Beck has made it official yet what he's going to do. Signs point to him certainly coming back for UGA, but just this is the week where you got to kind of shift the focus, get your work done in the classroom, and then bowl practice is one of those weeks where you really bond with your team. Everybody's off campus. It's just the guys. It's football 24/7. You have a couple of team activities maybe planned at night for a couple of days, and then you get to go home for Christmas and then meet back at the bowl site. So an interesting week for sure. What else? Go ahead.
Nothing. I was just like the way I always felt of that bowl practice was like a very chilled out camp. Like all the good stuff that comes along with camp, that's what bowl practice and bowl week is. Like they're not trying to kill you. You're trying to get in, obviously, and get your work in. But it's a lot more
start
fun.
You don't start game planning until you get to the bowl site, correct?
I mean, yes and no. They Kirby likes to mix in periods where you think you're just working against the defense, but really they're on cards and going against whoever you're playing.
Yeah.
They try to sneak that stuff in there without you really knowing or getting ahead of yourself, but they'll definitely have a week or maybe 2 weeks where, hey, we're focused on us. We're getting better. A lot more camp style practices with some good on good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Fundamentals, good on good, all that good stuff. What else is good stuff? Solomon Brothers Jewelers. And if you need the good stuff for the holidays, you need to head into Solomon Brothers Jewelers. They have two awesome locations. One is in Alpharetta, just past the Avalon. Beautiful showroom. The other, if you're downtown or around the action, it's 17th floor Tower Place in Buckhead. 2 weeks till Christmas, people. 2 weeks until Christmas. If you need to get something special for that special person in your life, head on over to Solomon Brothers Jewelers. They have the largest diamond and jewelry inventory in the Southeast. And it gets better because if you mention Punt and Pass or myself or Jake, you can get 10% off your jewelry purchase. They have custom jewelry designs, lifetime diamond upgrades, and beautiful stores with amazing service. Check them out on Instagram and Twitter at Solomon Brothers, online at SolomonBrothers.com. Did you get to watch any of that Army-Navy game this past weekend?
Not as much as I wanted to. We were busy moving around. Got to sneak up and watch a little bit of dinner while we were out and about. But yeah, dude, just that game's so cool, man. Everything awesome that goes into that game, like the atmosphere, the scenery, like everybody's pumped up. It's just that game. The uniforms are cool. Yeah, everything about that game is pretty awesome.
Looked so awesome. It was up in Boston this year at Foxborough Gillette Stadium. My good buddy, former roommate, Georgia great NFL vet, Clint Bowling, went up there. He said it was so sick. The atmosphere was awesome. Pretty good weather as well. The pageantry, the march on, the flyovers looked amazing. And of course, if you had any vested interest in the game, it came down to the very last second. So of note, I believe the under in the Army-Navy game has gone 16-1 the past 17 games. And this game opened early in the week at 30 total points. The over-under was 30. Now, Service Academy unders are usually the play. So when Service Academies play against each other, Army, Navy, Air Force, they all typically run triple option offenses. That means what? You're running the ball a lot. The clock doesn't stop. There are very few incompletions to stop the clock. A lot of times these teams practice against themselves, so they're good at defending the triple option, which means not a lot of first downs, a lot of punts. The clock just churns and churns and churns. This got bet so much to the under, Jake, that it closed at 27.5 points. That was the total at kickoff, 27.5 total points. I believe the score was 10-0 at half, right? Looking pretty good if you have an under ticket. Army was up 10-0 at half. Navy starts a little comeback late in the second half. Navy puts some points up on the board. It is 17-9. 17-9 with less than a minute left. Army gets the ball back deep in their own territory. 17-9, if I'm doing my math correctly, Jake, is 26 points. There was about 4 seconds left in the game. All Army needed to do was run one play. The game would be over. Under, bettors everywhere celebrate. Army decides to take a slow safety, which means the quarterback takes the ball. He lets the clock wind down to about 1 second, and then he steps out of the back of the end zone as the clock goes to zero, putting 2 points on the board for Navy. Final score, 17-11. That total is 28. Under bettors at 27.5. Good night and good evening. You lose. Truly unbelievable. I mean, I'm watching it going, this cannot be happening. I did not have a vested interest in the game. I, of course, knew what was happening in that moment. But if you did and you lost in that fashion, may God bless you. We think about you in the moments like that.
That is that's tough. I mean, could you imagine just watching the entire game, feeling good about your investment that you just made?
And then, even if it was $5, yeah, $5 right? Or $5 million, it stings in the worst way possible.
I mean, just because, you know, they're backed up, they're on the minus 1 yard line. So quickly, my head, like, you have three different options for plays, right? You can run the QB sneak to get out of it. You can take the safety, which is what they did. Or you can
Dive. I mean, it's a triple option team, dude. They do this single play.
That is true. Or you can just catch a shotgun snap, do a little sprint right footwork, and launch the ball as deep as you can just to burn out some clock. So that's done. A couple times as well throughout the season. So to me, those are the three options, and they picked the one that gives
that hurt everybody.
That gives points to their team and hurts everybody. So that's funny. I mean, it's not funny, but it's unfortunate.
It is funny, and it is unfortunate. I will say, I thought Brad Nessler missed a great opportunity to, you know, at least make a jab about that. He said, you know, and this safety won't have any impact on the outcome of the game. Of course it didn't. The game was over. Army goes on to win 17-11, but I thought he could have given a little hat tip to everybody out there that just got their souls absolutely crushed. That is a great game, though. It's always a standalone game on a Saturday afternoon, the weekend after conference championship games. Army with a big win. If you have not seen the post-game locker room speech / celebration from Jeff Munkin and the Army locker room, it's awesome. It's one of the most special games in all of college football. Thank you so much to all those guys at our service academies who make our country great. All right, wrapping things up. How about the transfer portal? It's still hot and heavy. starting quarterbacks at some premier college football teams are just up and leaving. Dylan Gabriel, who started at Oklahoma this year, he had a great year. Sounds like he's going to Oregon. I don't think Kyle McCord, the starting quarterback for Ohio State this past year, has announced where he's going. Looks like Riley Leonard is going to Notre Dame. Did I see that correctly, Jay?
I know that he's taking a visit there. The grapevine that I've heard is that he's probably going there, but you never know until you get some pen to paper. And the transfer portal is crazy. Just do you imagine being the coaching staff or, whoever in Oklahoma and be like, man, we had a good season. We beat Texas. They're in the college football playoff. We're right there, right? We're just one game away from being in the college football playoff. And oh, there goes my starting quarterback. So just different perspectives.
Yeah.
It's all like I'm obviously in favor of the players.
Yeah.
But just sometimes you just got to take a step back and look at stuff from different perspectives. The Kyle McCord one still blows my mind.
Looks like he may be going to Nebraska. I'm on Three's transfer portal predictor right now. Looks like he might be going to Nebraska.
Yeah. I mean,
do you think the coaches pushed him out? Do you think it was like, hey man, appreciate it, but things didn't work out this year. Go ahead and put your name in the portal.
I maybe see that as an option, but I figured if that was the case, they would have already gotten a commit or a transfer from someone else. Like they had to have something in the works.
And it sounds like Cam Ward from Washington State, who's from Texas initially, sounds like he might be on Ohio State's short list, as well as maybe Dante Moore, the freshman from UCLA. So those are more like your speedster athletic type guys who could fit really well into that offense. How about Tyler Van Dyke? I mean, Tyler Van Dyke, starting quarterback at Miami, he's still undecided. He's in the transfer portal. Will Howard from Kansas State, again, a guy who's won a conference championship. He's undecided at the moment. So much time. And we'll see what happens, but we'll keep it locked in right here on Punt and Pass. Georgia high school football state championships are this week. Today through Wednesday. Did you ever play in the Dome? Corky Kell or state championship or anything?
I wish didn't have that luxury. We lost in the third round twice, my sophomore and junior year. Who'd you lose to?
Do you remember?
Got beat by Stockbridge my sophomore year on a terrible call, which I had no idea this rule even existed. So they punted us. This was late in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. They were punting. We're about to get the ball, go do our 2-minute drill drive, score some more points. We're winning up by like two scores. They punt the ball. Punter punts it straight up in the air, right? So everybody's like, Peter, get away from it. Everybody starts running off. We start running on. Well, the ball never crossed the line of scrimmage.
Okay.
So apparently, I don't know if I still need confirmation on this. The ball never crossed the line of scrimmage. They called it a live ball. One of their dudes picked up the ball. Now, mind you, there's transition. Their defense is on. Our offense is starting to walk on the field. One of their dudes on the punt team picks up the ball and runs it into the end zone, and they call it a touchdown.
How is that even possible if the ball was kicked?
I have no idea.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Does not. Still to this day, doesn't make any sense to me. But they score, get this tremendous amount. They call a touchdown, get this tremendous amount of momentum. The announcer over the intercom, the mighty, 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 mighty Tigers. I still have bad dreams about this. And we end up losing the game. I mean, this is, I just cannot believe that happened. I don't know what to say about it.
That's year, ridiculous.
Yeah. Next year we lose to a Cobb County team. It was the first Cobb County team to win a state championship in I think a really long time. They're gray, Alpharetta-ish. I don't know. Couldn't tell you, but they beat us. They ended up winning a state championship. They had like two quarterback sneaks. The dude took it to the house for like 60, 80 yards.
It wasn't Harrison, was it? No.
No, it wasn't Harrison. Great team.
Man, Well, sorry to bring up this bad memory.
Sorry,
I apologize.
Sorry.
You know who's probably having bad day today? Patrick Mahomes. What were your thoughts on that? It was an unbelievable play. I don't know if it was drawn up that way. Travis Kelce catches it deep downfield, turns
around.
That's
just Kelce being Kelce.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
But whose fault is that? Is it Kadarius Toney not checking with the line judge and saying, am I good? Is it Patrick Mahomes not getting short, making sure that his guys are lined up? Or is it just simply Kadarius Toney kind of spacing out and being in the neutral zone? Because he was clearly in the neutral zone. You could easily make the argument, why would the referee call that penalty? It cost the Chiefs the game. It's an unbelievable play.
I'm dumbfounded that they called it. So
you are.
Yeah, it's definitely on KT because as a receiver,
you gotta know.
You always look and you always check with the guy. So I don't know what that
check interaction with the check with the ball spot or check with the line judge.
Check with the line judge.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I thought too.
Very similar thing happened to us with the Commanders last year. One of our receivers wasn't on. He got the thumbs up from the line judge. Got the thumbs up from the line judge, and the line judge still called him for a legal formation.
It's crazy.
So stuff like this is
because he checked with the line judge. Am I on the line? Got the thumbs up, and then the ball snapped, and they throw the flag and say legal formation. He was not on the line.
He wasn't on the line scrimmage. So it's on the receiver. You got to check with the line judge, but then also, man, for the line judge, like this ultimately has virtually zero impact on the play. If there's
that was Mahomes's point.
Yeah, like if there's a something that like a defensive holding that happened in the play, like I get it, that's tic-tacky if it's away from the play, but it's during the play, right? You can always make the argument that it had impact on the play because it was during the play. But that 6 inches, whether or not he's on the ball, off the ball, and at the end of the day, it wasn't like he was blatantly off sides. He was in the neutral zone, which isn't egregious on its own. And then Andy Reid made a great point too after the game in his press conference. He's like, hey, normally when that stuff happens, there is a warning that takes place.
Yes.
The defensive ends always get a warning. So the line judge will go to the defensive end and be like, hey, you got to back it up. I got to call you next time. Or you know, tackles get that benefit of the doubt. Hey, you got to step up because tackles like to separate themselves from the line of scrimmage to help out their pass protection wise. So there's always this warning that takes place and this communication that takes place. Because the last thing the NFL wants is for something like that to happen in that game, in that moment, especially after the play that Travis Kelce just made.
No doubt.
If you watch the Chiefs and watch him play, if he's out in that open space and deep down the field, he's always looking.
He threw a dime, too. He threw a dime to Kadarius Toney. It was an unbelievable play.
Just one of the better football plays that's ever happened. And two, it would have just been even better too if they would have won the game. So sorry. I went in right there and
I appreciate it. I need that insight from an NFL quarterback. So who do you guys have this week? Who are you guys playing this week?
We're going to go out to LA and play the Rams.
All right. Good deal.
Kind of excited. I've never met Matt Stafford before.
You've never met Matthew before?
Never met him. Wow. So I'm looking forward to it.
That'll be very cool. Good game coming up this weekend. Washington Commanders at the Los Angeles Rams. All right, we'll find some stuff to talk about for Thursday's episode. We got bowl season kicking off on Saturday. That will be a ton of fun. Reminder, Christmas is 2 weeks away, people. Head on over to Solomon Brothers Jewelers. They have two amazing locations that you can hit up. One's in Alpharetta, just past the Avalon. The other in Buckhead, 17th floor, Tower Place. Why Solomon Brothers? They've got the largest diamond and jewelry inventory in the Southeast. And it gets better if you mention Punt and Pass or myself or Jake. You can get 10% off your jewelry purchase. They have an amazing watch selection for guys as well. They offer custom jewelry designs, lifetime diamond upgrades, and the in-store experience is totally unmatched. Check them out on social media at Solomon Brothers on Instagram and Twitter, SolomonBrothers.com. Check us out on social media as well, at Punt and Pass. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at From Jake, puntandpass.com. Jake, anything on the way out, my man?
No, man, I think you got me thinking, dude. Christmas is 2 weeks
It's crazy.
Away.
It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Ready. And we're going to have a great holiday season. Appreciate everybody tuning in, and we will talk to you on Thursday. See ya.
Yep.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.